The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Caddy. In this episode, George decides that he's going to take an unapproved vacation, leading people to think that he's actually dead at work. Meanwhile, Kramer, Jerry, and Jackie Chiles launch a lawsuit against Elaine's arch enemy, Sue Ellen Mischke, because she wears a bra as a top in public. What did you think of this episode?
This is a really fun episode. A lot of quotables in this episode. Always like to see Jackie Childs in the episodes, because Phil Morris is he steals every scene he's in. You get a little bit of everything here, man. You get the Costanzas, Frank and Estelle, Susan pops up in here. You get a couple of memorable tertiary characters. Everything is, you get Elaine just being like petty. Yeah, like, this is a really, really strong episode.
Yeah. I like this episode a lot. For a number of reasons. Obviously Jackie Chiles is a definite high point. I mean, the OJ Simpson, like, mirroring of this trial is like perfect, right? Especially the end is like, he nails that line at the end so well.
In case you didn't get it.
Right. Like, you're still having a really hard time picking this one up. That part's great. There's a couple callbacks to some, moments that happened earlier, in previous seasons. Look, I'll be a little bit of a dick. Brenda Strong, who plays Sue Ellen Mischke, has a very nice pair of boobs. She does.
I mean, it's facts of fact.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna walk around with a bra as a top, she is not a bad person to be doing that.
Yeah, man. They didn't cast somebody that's a car carrying member of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee to be in this fucking episode.
They did not. And they're nice. Like, they're reasonable. Just really reasonable. So the episode starts out, Kramer introduces George and Jerry to his caddy, Stan, I believe, who Stan has been telling Kramer that he's so good at golf now that he could make it onto the senior PGA tour, which I found to be hilarious. Like, okay, if that's your aspiration, like, I think he shoots 3 under par or whatever, which is, I guess, good. I don't know. For old people.
Golf?
I have tried to play golf. I've attempted.
Have you done like 18 holes?
Yes. I'm terrible. Like, I'm real bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm in the same boat.
I find golf to be, I get why people get into it, because, like, you can't master it. Right. Like, it's even, you know, Tiger Woods on his best day can have a shitty game. Right. Like, it's just,
right.
You can't master it. So you're always sort of chasing the dragon. That being said, I want to break every golf club I use every time I do a bad shot. I want to snap it over my knee. It's irritating as shit. Like, it's a super irritating game, but I enjoy it. I like the driving range more than anything.
If you're not good at it, it's the most frustrating fucking thing in the world. And if you are good at it, you feel like a badass, right?
Yeah, like a magician.
Yeah, yeah. And it takes a tremendous amount of strength. Like, I've done 18 holes once, and then I've done like a couple of 9 holes. Yo, 18 holes of golf, one, takes forever.
Yes. I've only done it once.
And two, you will throw your back out.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's an exhausting game.
It really, really is, man. And but it's fun. I remember I worked at a wastewater treatment plant in Baltimore, and some of the older guys there, older black guy, he once told me, you got to learn how to play golf, because that's where white men make decisions.
Not wrong.
And you gotta at least be familiar with it. And you gotta be good, but not too good.
Right. You know? Always gotta let the white man win. Ah, no, you got it.
But yeah, man, golf is cool.
I'm sending Brad as my surrogate. Like, Brad, get out there. He knows how to golf.
But I'm terrible at it, man. Like, I'm even terrible at driving.
Like, I'm not good at driving, but I enjoy that more. Because that's like some Happy Gilmore shit, right? Like Adam Sandler could do that. Like, I don't need to, like, all the finessing. Oh, the different clubs. I don't even barely use different clubs in golfing games. I'm like, driver every right, time. Right. Or what about a flat iron or whatever? I don't know.
Driver until you get on the green.
Right, putter. That's it. That's all I know. If I was playing, like, I need two clubs. That's it.
I like putting because it's like, as close to mini golf as you
can. Yeah, it is. It is, exactly. Yeah, I like a good mini golf. I can put the ball into the clown's ass or whatever dumb shit they come up with.
Whenever we go to Florida, we always go to two places because my wife is from a podunk town near a white trash town. And we always go to go-kart. We go go-karting, and then there's a mini golf thing that we always do.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't think my wife and I have ever done mini golf. That would be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy it. I like that because it's like the right type of competitiveness. Because any mini golf game, like, you could win or lose to the other person, and it's just like, it's kind of a stroke of luck for the most part. Mini golf doesn't really take any skill. Right, it's not all that complex, and then you can talk shit. Right? I'm not trying to talk shit playing golf and then losing by like 400 strokes. Like, that's no, get out of here. No, I want to best my rivals or just lose just by enough.
Pro tip: if you are thinking about trying golf and you're listening to this, don't go golfing with your work buddies who really, really, really like golf.
No, fuck that.
Bro,
we play every weekend. Yeah, I'm not going with you. Wow, so I can look like an idiot? You
know, this is ridiculous, right? Like, I just like, nah, man. I don't want to play no more.
They're building a Topgolf near us.
I've been to Topgolf a couple times. There's a Topgolf. North of us and
the National Harbor, right?
And in the National Harbor. So there's one like up 270 and there's one at National Harbor.
See, Mike is rich. That's why he's near Top Golf. He's near two Top Golfs. top and bottom golf. I'm just like on Top Golf's website and like they've got like Top Golf Dubai and like it feels more like a Dave and Buster's version of golf.
All it is. That's literally all it is.
And I'm okay with that. Like that feels like that's probably pretty fun. Right? Yeah,
Topgolf is awesome, right? Like you just get a bunch of people there, you order food and you bullshit, right? Like they do team buildings there.
Dude, my wife just asked me what I wanted to do for my birthday and I was like, I don't know. Like nothing. What's that? It's not a bad idea. That'd be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I might like postpone it until like vaccinations are all done. But that'd be kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
I could eat wings and do a terrible job at driving at the driving range.
That's all it is. And they got the nerve to have like these gigantic fucking pits that you have to try and aim the ball.
Right, and they're all like colored and shit.
Yeah, no, you're not getting none of them.
Yeah,
that should know what you're doing.
Yeah, that doesn't no, or pure luck, which sounds like the only way I'm ever gonna hit it.
Wow, this place consistently. Looks cool. My wife consistently beats me at Topgolf. I'm really pissed at it.
Is she like a really good golfer?
No.
I'm gonna start driving like fucking Happy Gilmore. I'm gonna run up to the ball, fucking swing. Fuck it. Who cares?
There's no rules in Topgolf. Frustrating, yo.
I bet it is.
Like, not, I don't mind if my wife beat. Well, I, all right, look, this show. I do kind of mind.
How dare you?
At physical stuff. But
why don't you challenge her to a push-up contest? See if you can beat her at that. I bet you can. She can't do one.
So, but yeah, like, so the fact that she consistently just like beats me at Top Golf, like, it don't sit well with me.
That's fucking hilarious, dude. Oh, wait, is the Top Golf in Baltimore already open? Oh, coming soon. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. You know what? That's what I want to do. There you go. That's my birthday thing for, like, it'll probably just be like the TNP people, but, yeah, cause I don't fuck with nobody else really like that. not many people. Very few outside of that. Yeah. All right. Cool. Top Golf it is, when everybody is not a filthy, disgusting monster. So Elaine is outside. And she sees what she refers to as the braless wonder, Sue Ellen Mischke, who is not wearing a bra under her shirt. How do you feel about women going braless? You cool with this?
I mean, I never really thought about it. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, did you like what Sue Ellen Mischke was throwing down there, coming towards
the
lane?
I mean, the way she's walking, it looks like a pair of puppies are doing double dutch.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
But you know, I look, braless, no bra, I'm gonna look anyway, so I, you know,
yeah, whatever. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, it's not gonna really matter for dudes, like, we're still gonna look like, you got a good bra and it's all like pushed up, we like,
right,
in the words of Dave Chappelle, your titties popping out of your top of your turtleneck, like, what am I supposed to do, ignore it? No. I'm a scumbag. We're all scumbags. And if you're listening and you're a woman, you're like, not my husband. Yes, your husband. He's a scumbag too. He's not a scumbag around you, which is what he's supposed to do. That's how he's supposed to act.
Exactly.
He's supposed to be a gentleman. And then when he's with his friends at Top Golf, oh, shit, son. High five. So she comes breasting boobily down the street. And so she's like, hey, Elaine, I wanted to invite you to my birthday or whatever. And Elaine is like, yeah, I can't make it because I'm busy doing like anything else. And Sue Ellen's like, well, I hope you can get me a gift. And they have this like frenemy sort of relationship. Like, they clearly fucking hate each other. But they pretend to be very friendly with each other. So we cut to George at work. Mr. Wilhelm comes in and he's like, the assistant to the general manager is not working out, and that position is going to be open soon. We noticed you've been burning the midnight oil, and you know, your name's being tossed around as a possibility. So George is super excited about that. And then he realizes that because his car is parked in the parking lot, and it's like in a name spot, and he locked his keys in the car a couple of days ago, they think that he's coming in early and leaving late. So it's like working super hard. Which is of course a lie, because George is not working hard at all.
Was the latest you've ever, left work? Like, gone in and left. What's the longest amount of time you've put into a day?
24 hours.
24 hours, like, you physically went into a location,
yes,
and left the next day at, yes, the same time.
Yeah, we had a super emergency at work once. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, you beat me.
Any other time, 7.5 to 8 hours on the dot.
My longest was like seven, when I was working at the Patton and Tremont office, which is the worst place to work in the history of places to work. I went in at 7 and came out at around 11.
Ugh.
And I had to take a train home. So
I remember when you worked at that place. Jesus Christ. I've never seen you more depressed in my life. Like, just, I wish I, do you remember the time frame? When what were the years that you worked there? Do you remember?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but
I would be super interested to have people go back and listen to episodes that came out during that, like, before that time, and after that time and during, and you can hear the difference in you. Hey guys, you were like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh cartoon. You're like, I hate my life. I hate everything about this. And then you got it. You got your courage up. You're like, hey everybody, how's it going?
I was a patent examiner from September 2014 to September 2015.
Yeah, go ahead and listen to that yo, year.
I fucking hated it, yo. My wife was my fiance at the time. And she was really concerned for me because one day I was just yelling and screaming, and I'm not a yeller nor a screamer.
You are not.
And she was just like, you need to quit that job.
This job fucking sucks. Yo, that was like soul sucking. Oh my God. But didn't you meet somebody who listened to the show? Like they just happened to hear that you worked there and they were like, hey, I also work here.
Yeah.
I wonder if that person still listens.
Maybe.
I wonder if they still work in that shit job.
Look, they might. Look, it's got a tremendous entrance plan, right? Like, hey, you can work from home, asterisk. You can get up to a G15 with no competition, asterisk. But
yeah, G15 is pretty good.
Yeah, like a GS15, like that's usually management pay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you can earn it, but you know, you gotta produce.
Yeah, like that was not your thing. You shitting on people's ideas is like professionally is not your thing. Like on this show, yes. Like on the Nerd Podcast. Oh, is that your movie idea? That fucking sucks.
It doesn't matter.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't matter. You already made $20 million from it. Fuck you. Right. Yeah, but just some guy like, I'm an inventor. Yeah, your shit is garbage. Like, no, you can't do that. That's like crushing people's dreams professionally, man. That's fucked up. So Elaine comes back to George or to Jerry's house with George there. And she's like, so I see, I ran into my friend, Sue Ellen Mischke, who, just does not wear a bra. She hasn't since college. She stole my ex-boyfriend. And then they show a flashback of, Sue Ellen, walking by Elaine's boyfriend, just like tits akimbo. And that dude's like, I gotta go talk to her. I gotta go. It's understandable.
That was the name of a real boyfriend that she had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that Julia Louis-Dreyfus had.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he regrets it as he looks back. Regrets breaking up with her is what I mean. So then she decides that she's going to get Sue Ellen Mischke a bra for her birthday, like as a present, which is obviously very subtle. But I love that women can do shit like that. Cause like George and Jerry had this question, like, would you ever buy a dude a jock strap or whatever? He's like, no, what the hell's wrong with you? That's insane. No, I'm not doing that. Then Sue Ellen shows up at, Elaine's job wearing the bra as a top under a blazer. And look, while it's ridiculous for someone to do that, she pulled it off. She looked great, dude.
If you can do it.
This needs to be a trend that happens, by the way. I feel like people need to steal this.
I wouldn't mind it, but you know, then you get the quote body positive people will be upset at this person's body positivity.
Yeah. Yeah, why do you get to wear that and I don't? I mean, you can.
You could.
You can do whatever you want to do. You do whatever you want to do. I have a feeling that the world will be more like the Discovery Channel than the Playboy Channel, but that's just me. I don't think it's for everybody. It's not a look for everybody. It's not. It's not. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I don't wear tank tops out in public. Shit doesn't look good if it's falling off your shoulder. Like, that shit's not a... Not good for me. It's not a good look.
Look at yoga pants, right?
It's not for everybody.
Yoga pants is a privilege, not a right.
Right. That's right. I don't know why people think less material makes them look better. That's not for everyone, man. It is not. And look, that's not like a big versus small thing, like a heavier person versus a skinny person. Because some skinny people can't wear it either. It don't look good when your butt is inverted. Like, it don't look good. Get out of here.
It looks like a soiled diaper.
Right. Like, it's not a good look, man.
It's just hanging there.
Right. And again, if people want to say, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't wear, you know, what if someone told you certain things? Like, you're right, though. Like, but you're not wrong. Like, right. You're not wrong. Like, when I was, like, super fit, like, yeah, you getting this medium shirt. You getting it, right? Look, I don't give a fuck if you want it or not. You getting it. I worked hard for this. Get out of here. I'm not wearing a judge's robe, okay? I work out. Now, I make sure I got a little extra room. Like, because who the fuck has time to work out? Right. I just started back yesterday. Just yesterday. That's it.
A friend of mine a while ago, like a year ago or a couple years ago, I had taken pregnancy pictures with my wife, and and my friend was like, "Oh man, you been hitting the gym?" I was like, "Nah, yo, that's called proper posture and proper fitting clothing. Yeah, like, that's all that is.
Yeah, you looking jacked, bro? You know what? Nah, sure, yeah. sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, no, get the fuck out of here. No, but like when I was in shape, it's like schmedium all day, every day. Get out of here. I'm not wearing these circus tent shirts. Get out of here. No. Out of here. Yeah, so Jerry refers to
Sue Ellen Mishke as Elaine's Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Do you know the connection there?
Was Brenda Strong in the Superman movies?
She was in the Supergirl TV show playing Lillian Luthor.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she was playing Lillian Luthor. I think Alexis Luthor's mother or something like that.
Oh, okay. I was like, not Lex Luthor's sister. I was like, that woman is significantly younger than Brenda Strong, who is 60 years old. Okay. Also, that woman is like crazy fine too. Yeah, that's right. She did play the mom. Okay. Oh my God. That's really weird. I like Brenda Strong though. She's played some pretty like wackadoo roles over the years. But I always like her and stuff. Yeah, but she's looking pretty damn good in this movie. This is like a very 90s. It's like a very 90s look. George calls Jerry from the cabin that they rebuilt of Susan's parents after Kramer burned it down. He calls because like he left his car there and he's like, yo, you got to go down to Yankee Stadium and remove all the flyers because they're going to realize that I haven't moved my car. So Jerry's like, fuck. All right, I'll do it for you. And so Kramer comes in. Jerry's like, hey, you want to drive down to Yankee Stadium with me and remove flyers from George's car? And Kramer's like, yeah, absolutely. And he goes, I could have said anything right then, right? And he's like, yeah, pretty much. I was just done. I got nothing else going on. They drive all the way down there and they see there's like pigeons all over the car shitting. The car is just an absolute wreck. So Jerry's like, look, we got to remove all these things and then go get the car washed. So it all looks good. And Kramer like actually gets a hanger and, you know, gets the car door open and they drive it to a car wash and like they get the car all clean and everything. And while they're driving, they're distracted by, Sue Ellen Mishke, who is walking down the street with the bra, on as a top under the blazer, which again, it's not a bad look. I'm not mad at it.
Not a bad look if you can pull it off, man.
No. Yeah. So if you can pull it off, go for it, ladies. So she's like, she's walking down the street and they end up crashing. And so they get into a decent accident. Jerry is relaying the story to Elaine. And she's like, oh my God, that's Sue Ellen Mishke. She's the heiress to the O. Henry candy bar family. And so they realize they could sue her for $1 million.
This show has some weird product placements. But like they make them like Seinfeld isms, you know what I mean? Like it,
right.
It's just odd. Like normally I can't stand just blatant product placement. But at the same time, like, that's how people, like, products exist in the real world.
Right.
But on the third hand, like, this isn't a real world. It's a hyper fictionalized New York.
Right.
Where all this wacky shit happens.
Right. But, like, at the same time, I'm watching as, like, on the cabinet in Jerry's apartment, there's like a Taboo game and Yahtzee and shit like yeah. People, like, they paid to have those things there, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Elaine is like, yeah, let's sue her for $1 million. Like, fuck Sue Ellen Mischke. And they're like, so the caddy is like, yeah, yeah, no, you're, you know, this is a good decision. So of course Kramer goes to Jackie Childs, and tells the story, and he's like, she had no top on, like a bra for a top. And so he's all about the case. He's like, oh yeah. I'm gonna send you to my doctor. Like, we're gonna make this shit happen. Meanwhile, they drive the car back, George's car back, to Yankee Stadium. It's been in an accident. Things are all fucked up. And so Wilhelm and Steinbrenner assume that George has been killed because they can't find him anywhere. Jerry runs into Sue Ellen Mischke outside of Kramer's apartment because she's trying to talk to him and he's not there. And this is a very white people thing. Jerry invites Sue Ellen over to his apartment to wait for Kramer there. One, you don't know if Jerry is a fucking psychopath. He is.
Okay, you're like this. You're questioning why Sue Ellen would do it.
Yeah. Like, I understand why Jerry would do it. Okay. The fuck? He saw it on a bra top. I get it. Woman is fine too. Like, and she's like pretty hot for 90s fine. Like 90s white woman fine. Like standard television. Yeah, she got it going on. So, yeah, Jerry's like, yeah, no, you can come wait in my apartment while I try to put the fucking moves on you. I get it. Look, I looked up Brenda Strong now. Still would. She's 60 years old. Still would. So then Jerry's like sort of changing his mind when he talks to Kramer, like, I don't know if we should sue this woman. Yeah. And he goes, oh, I see what's happening here, as he finds a O. Henry candy bar wrapper in Jerry's, trash can. He's like, you're smitten with this woman. This was our opportunity. I thought we were friends. And then it was like, Kramer does that, like that once in a while, very serious tone. And then he's like, he starts flipping out and they start yelling at each other, like, ah, which is actually like really good comedic timing. Steinbrenner goes to George's parents' house, to declare that, George is in fact dead. Meanwhile, like, as he's saying this, George's mom is all sad and George's dad is like, why did you trade, you know, whatever player had a rocket for an arm?
He's sitting there talking to him about fucking the Yankees and shit. Like, this dude is coming to say that your son's dead, and he's just hyper focused on Steinbrenner's ineptitude.
You guys don't know what the hell you're doing over there. So George's dad calls Jerry. Is like, call me back. You know, like, Steinbrenner's here. George is dead. Call me back. And then you know George calls. And he's like, yeah, I'm not fucking dead. What are you talking about? We cut to Jay Peterman. There's a lot going on this episode. We cut to Jay Peterman, who saw Sue Ellen Mischke walking around with the bra on as a top. And he wants Elaine to write an ad about a woman with a, you know, just wearing a bra for a top and trying to sell bras as tops from the Jay Peterman catalog. Which, incidentally, for this episode, I tried to see if they sold bras because I was going to have you read another Jay Peterman ad, but they do not. Which I think is a huge missed opportunity for them. So, from Himalayan walking shoe to titty cover.
It's an over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Thank you, Al Bundy. George comes back. He's like, oh, you know, I was in an accident. But I'm okay now. And they're like, yeah, we already gave that job to somebody else. So, yeah, you fucked up.
I thought you were dead.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I didn't get the job. And so George like lets the ruse go. He like drops the, you know, drops the crutches and all this other shit. He's like, yeah, fuck this job. which is just hilarious to me. And, you know, it's just not even an issue for Steinbrenner because he's still talking. We cut to the court case at the end. Jackie Childs is, you know, they got Sue Ellen Mischke on the ropes, and like basically she's completely guilty, and they're like, should we have her try on the bra? You know, and they're like, no, you don't try on the bra. What are you doing? And so Kramer asks
the caddy
whether or not they should put on the bra. And the caddy's like, yeah, you should have her try on the bra. So I'm going to play this clip because it's actually pretty fucking funny. Hopefully this works well.
It doesn't fit. I can't put it on.
Damn fools. Look at that. We got nothing now. Nothing. I've been practicing law for 25 years. You're listening to a caddy. This is a public humiliation. You can't let the defendant have control of the key piece of evidence. Plus, she's trying it on over a leotard. Of course a bra's not going to fit on over a leotard. A bra's got to fit right up against a person's skin. Like a glove.
If you didn't get where this was from, like,
no, but his line delivery is so fucking good, man.
Like a glove.
Obviously, there's OJ Simpson.
I love the meta commentary of the OJ trial. You can't have the defense get a hold of the key piece of evidence.
I mean, but that was what sunk that case. Like, like it literally did. Oh, I can't put it on. You have a glove on. You have a glove on under the glove, dude. Like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? Who cares if it fits? That dude was super guilty. Oh, can't get it on. Oh. Juice is loose. That dude could have been in jail for the rest of his life, and they fucked that case up. What a bunch of idiots. Wow. So, yeah. So there ends the episode. Well, you get a post-credit scene where Elaine is at work and these two women come in. They're like, hey, Elaine, we're going out to lunch. You want to come hang out with us? And they're both wearing bras for tops, which again, under the blazer, it's not a bad look. Come on. Yeah,
make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Stop being lazy and get out there and show your boobs to the public and dudes will definitely be reasonable. That's how this all works, right?
What's the male equivalent of that, right? Like, is it just like for guys just like wearing like chaps with no
gray sweatpants? what would it be for guys? We would have to wear like boxer briefs as shorts.
Yeah. Boxer briefs as shorts.
Yeah. Gives you a whole kit and caboodle right there. And it's really not. Like, that's not outerwear. So, no, I'm not doing that. But I do think, as a male hypocrite, I do think women should do this.
Yeah, look, ladies, if you want me to go to wear a blazer with, a tank top on, I'll do it. Why not?
With shoulder pants. Because it's the 90s.
Yeah, sure.
All right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next week for the 7.
See you.
Bye.
Really?